Starry, starry skies, no more. Boy, did I get schooled fast. After reading article after article about how we're blasting artificial light into the night sky, erasing stars, confusing plants and animals, and confounding astronomical observatories, I learned that there are now dark sky towns dotted around the world. My little town seemed a natural for this project, filled with farmers and others who live close to nature. Surely they missed those velvety night skies I saw just 15 years ago when we moved from the city. So I ventured onto Nextdoor and asked, blithely, if anyone had ever suggested the dark sky idea. "No thanks," came the first reply. "Are you high?" the someone wrote, feeling no need for a question mark. "What? Ha ha ha, WTF." There were more polite responses. One gentleman wrote, "I like this idea from an environmental standpoint, but as someone with glaucoma, I dislike it from a night driving standpoint." I quickly clarified, no need to get rid of streetlights. A friend who's a retired science educator reminded me that the biggest problem is lights that shine upward rather than down onto the street. Several people wrote to say that what was once a dark rural area is now as bright at night as any city, and so their telescope doesn't get used much anymore. Or they said their neighbor's motion-detecting light could flood a stadium. Heartened, I then went too far, posting again to say that light pollution is increasing by 10% every year for the past decade. France now has curfews on outdoor lighting. Ireland has dark sky parks. All the artificial light disrupts sleep cycles, and lots of critters get disoriented. Here came the responses. "I'm speechless. Nobody cares about what France is doing. Stop already." And then, "At Bob, I'm speechless that you would not care about this." And At Bob's response, "Why?" Okay, here's why. The problems mentioned, not by me, stop getting mad at me, by darksky.org, are glare, excessive brightness, the sky glow over lit up areas, the amount of light shining where it is neither intended nor needed, the cluttered grouping of light sources. In other words, night lights, which ought to be small beacons of comfort, are promiscuous and inefficient. Artificial light accounts for 10% of our energy use, yet most of it is wasted and does damage. 7 years ago, scientists took measure and reported that 80% of the world's population, 99% of us in the United States and those in Europe, live under sky glow. Put more starkly, the majority of children born in North America today will never see the Milky Way. Moffat, Scotland, would be black or dark gray on an interactive map of artificial night brightness. St. Louis is white and pink. Hot zones, lots of light. Moffat is a certified dark sky town. And it goes even further, switching off nearly all of its artificial lighting for 2 weeks every winter. "Do you need a link?" teenagers ask pub goers, restoring the Victorian tradition of link boys who carried a lantern to guide people through London's dark, foggy streets. Have you ever noticed how often technological innovation moves us away from relying on other people? As the teens in Scotland lead the way, they point out the Pleiades, brighter than halogen against the black sky. There's no more crime than usual, but there are more bonfires and nighttime nature walks, and there is candlelit theater. The rest of the year, artificial light returns, but it is carefully placed, carefully colored, carefully angled. Without light pollution, barn owls and hedgehogs breed more often and more successfully. The bats sigh with relief, too. Zoologist Johan Ekloff first realized their plight when he went out to tally Sweden's bat population. He found the church belfries floodlit. Curious how the bats responded to all this light, he looked at old records. In 30 years, half the area's colonies had disappeared. Ekloff's new book, The Darkness Manifesto, looks at our fear of the dark. He chronicles the various sorts of damage we have done as we battled that natural instinctive fear. And then there's the extra layer of damage done just to extend our days by several more hours so we can easily keep working, buying, and attracting one another to neon-lit entertainment districts and car lots. Grasshoppers swarm like crazed mobs around the lights of Las Vegas, and then they fry themselves to death. Dung beetles can no longer see the stars that they use to navigate. Moths die of exhaustion without ever managing to have found a partner or lay any eggs. Baby sea turtles head toward glowing cities instead of the moonlit sea. Wallabies give birth so much later in the season, their food is gone. Coral is bleaching out and failing to reproduce, too disoriented to synchronize its gamete release. The pollinators we need to sustain our food chain are dizzied by our Klieg lights. Primates can muddle through, but nocturnal animals are having trouble functioning at all. And humans? We pore over articles about insomnia, pop melatonin supplements, and suffer the fatigue, anxiety, depression, and other health effects of poor sleep and light pollution. Exposure to light during the night can disrupt circadian and neuroendocrine physiology, thereby accelerating tumor growth, notes neurologist George Brainerd. Circadian rhythms, thrown off track, can lead to depression, insomnia, cardiovascular disease, obesity, diabetes, and cancer. I think of all the poets and philosophers who stared up at a dark, starry sky, drawing comfort and inspiration from its vast beauty. What we see now is mainly our own murky reflection.